Now we've learned that God has planned our lives from eternity, every detail of our lives, and that as surely as there's a special place for us in heaven, there is a special place for each of us to fill in His work. We conclude from this that He has a special one in mind to be a companion to any worker that He has chosen. This, of course, is provided it is God's plan for an individual to be married. In another class, future in this series, I want to study that with you. God's best plan for some people is to be married. God's best plan for some other people is to work for Him single. But at the moment, in this class, we are studying the steps over which God leads those that He does lead to marriage. And if we wish to arrive at the goal of a Christian home, certainly we want the guidance that God gives a Christian, the guidance of His Holy Spirit. Remember, we read in Jeremiah that it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Only God can lead us. And certainly if this is true of life in general, it is especially true in this question of marriage. This lifts the whole matter of courtship and the experiences leading to courtship. It lifts it far above the ordinary concept. To most people in the world that is around us, most people, dating and all that goes with it is more or less a social affair, having fun, having a good time, a few heartbreaks scattered through it, but that's life. I shall not comment on that particularly, except to say that we are studying something entirely different. I have no recipe to give to the world. God has never planned for this world to run well without Him. And we have no way of regulating how the people of this world live. They don't want us to regulate it anyway, and we couldn't if they wanted us to without God. Could we? Would you know how? To give them health and happiness and peace and satisfaction without God? And so this is not a class in how the people of this world can have a successful home. This is a class for the sons and daughters of the royal family to learn how to have Christian homes, little sanctuaries here on earth, patterned after the temple in heaven, a little house for God, like His great house above. And I repeat, this is far above all that the world is thinking about. Entirely different. Now, I want you to notice some statements this afternoon on this matter of steps. Let's go to the book Adventist Home, page 49. 49. What are those two words, which are number 2 and 3, in the paragraph beginning of on 49.
Every step.
Let every step toward a marriage alliance. Now, what does the word toward mean? In the direction of. Is that right? Let every step toward a marriage alliance be characterized by modesty, simplicity, sincerity, and an earnest purpose to please and honor God. Suppose there were only one step. Would this wording be correct if there were only one step? No. The wording here implies more than one step. How many, it doesn't state. And I suppose it would be rather dogmatic to say that there are just so many, whether 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 steps. There are probably more steps with some people than others. But from a condition of being single without any thought of marriage to the marriage altar and the setting up of a home, there is a succession of steps. It is those steps that I wish to study with you today and for the next few lessons. These steps that the Christian takes toward a marriage alliance. Now you notice that every one of these steps is to be characterized by certain things. What does that mean, be characterized by? Now, in trying to answer that, let me ask you this question. What is it that is to characterize every step? What's the first thing? Modesty. Second? Simplicity. The third? Sincerity. And the fourth? An earnest purpose to please and honor God. Now, if these four things characterize every step, what picture do you get now from that word characterize?
Marked features.
Marked features. Features prominent enough to give character to it. In other words, features prominent enough and permeating enough that those steps are steps in which we see modesty, we see simplicity, we see sincerity, we see an earnest purpose to please and honor God. Now, what is it that we are to see modesty and sincerity and simplicity and an earnest purpose to please and honor God? What is it that we're to see these in? Every step toward, would this take in the first step, the last step, and all the ones in between? Because it says what? Every step. There is no place then for just window shopping. There is no place for fun. I use that word fun in its proper meaning. Just having a lot of frolic and mirth. If there is any place in life for fun, it is not in picking a companion. This is too serious for that. Oh, says one, don't you think it ought to be a pleasant experience? I think baptism ought to be a pleasant experience, but it's certainly not a time for fun, is it? No. No. We are dealing with one of the most serious, most far-reaching decisions of life. And every step is to be characterized by what? Modesty and simplicity and sincerity and an earnest purpose to please and honor God. So we want to look at some of these steps. While we're looking here at Adventist Home, see, this is on 49, look at 50 now. The bottom of the page, this is a similar statement. Both of these you'll find also in Messages to Young People. You've perhaps read them in recent study periods. Messages to Young People 435 and 459. Same two statements. Now notice this one at the bottom of page 50, speaking of those who are being led by the Lord in true love. Fifth line up from the bottom. Modesty, simplicity, sincerity, morality, and religion will characterize every step toward an alliance in marriage. Every step. Now tell me, suppose there were five steps. And suppose every one of these but one was characterized by these things. But somewhere, either in the beginning or in the middle or near the end, there was a lack of modesty or a lack of sincerity or a lack of earnest purpose to please God. Would we be missing something according to the reference? Yeah. So every step. Notice then, have you heard the expression about two young people? I don't think they're serious yet. Or about two other young people. Yes, I think they're serious. You know what they mean? You know what I mean? That, yeah. Well now, in the light of the reference we're studying, when is the time to be serious? All the time. Right? And unless a person is serious, this is not something to play around with. No, no. This is not something to play around with at all. And we want to keep that in mind. Notice this on page 57 of Adventist Home, on flirtation. To trifle with hearts is a what? A what? Is it? That's what inspiration says. To trifle with hearts is a crime of no small magnitude in the sight of a holy God. And yet some will show preference for young ladies and call out their affections and then go their way and forget all about the words they have spoken in their effect. A new face attracts them and they repeat the same words, devote to another the same attentions. This disposition will reveal itself in the married life. You've heard of people getting married and settling down, haven't you? The time to settle down is when? Not only before marriage, before courtship. See, there's no place in this ideal program for this just flitting about like a butterfly, tasting first of this flower and then of another and then of another. That's flirtation. Now, every step toward a marriage alliance is to be characterized by what? Modesty, simplicity, sincerity, and an earnest purpose to please and honor God. And you remember in our past lesson, we found that a prudent wife is from the Lord. And whoso findeth such a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The young man is looking to the Lord for guidance in selecting a life companion, a young woman, when she becomes involved in the decision one way or another. She's looking to the Lord to guide her in the bestowal of her affections. This is primarily a spiritual experience. And every step is to be characterized by this purpose to honor God. Now, I want to study with you this afternoon for a little while the first step. You'll find it on the last page of Messages to Young People. Interesting place to find the first step, isn't it? But here it is, on the last page of Messages to Young People. 466. Oh, this is a wonderful page. The last paragraph. True love is a high and holy principle, altogether different in character from that love which is awakened by impulse and which suddenly dies when severely tested. Now, will you read the next sentence with me? It is by faithfulness to duty in the parental home that the youth are to prepare themselves for homes of their own. Now, this is the first step. And it starts where? In the parental home. What does the parental home mean? The home of your parent. That's right. The home of your parents. And it is by faithfulness to duty in the parental home that the youth are to prepare themselves for homes of their own. This is an interesting concept. Now, in most colleges, the entrance requirements include a diploma from what? High school. And in most high schools, the entrance requirements include a diploma from grammar school or elementary school. But suppose that I find myself in high school and I say, you know, I don't like it here at all. I don't seem to be able to get along with the teachers and I don't seem to get my lessons. I think I'll transfer to college. And I think I'll like it better there. What would you say? You might do this, mightn't you? You might say, that fellow needs his head examined a little. But do you know, my dear friends, this is a sad thing, that literally millions of marriages today are being formed based upon not success in the parental home, but failure in the parental home. There are millions of people getting married today as an escape from a home that they just can't take anymore. Now, we might discuss how much of that's the parents' fault and how much is the fault of the younger generation. In a sense, that's beside the point. We're studying an ideal, and in God's ideal, the first step toward having a successful Christian home is to be successful. In whose home? The home of our parents. And until I, as a child and a teenager, a youth, have mastered the problems of living with others in the parental home, I'm not ready to start a home myself. Say, what would happen to the marriage licenses if that were enforced as a prerequisite? What do you think would happen to the vital statistics all around? You think it'd bring them down? Oh yes, no question about it. Of course, you remember that inspiration tells us that there isn't one marriage in 100 the way it's carried on today that results in greater happiness for people and places them where they're better able to serve and honor God. There isn't one marriage in 100 that is really successful, is what Volume 4 tells us. And we are dealing here with the foundation of the whole matter. The reason that so few people are making a success of marriage is that they never made a success in the parental home. They never made a success as children, as teenagers. They never learned how to live in the home. They merely stayed there until they could get away or until they were thrown out on their own. Now, you remember in my first lesson in this series, I gave you a statement from Volume 2 written to a young man who apparently was an orphan. In fact, he was. And you remember that the servant of the Lord put in that letter to this young man, this wonderful sentence. Wise is that young man, and highly blessed, who, if he has parents, looks up to them, and if not, regards those with whom he lives as his guardians, and in some ways as his rulers, his counselors, and allows the restraints of his home to abide upon him. Now, I've refreshed our memories with that statement to bring this principle to view. If we have learned these lessons of faithfulness in the parental home, in our parental home, fine. We have our grammar school diploma, and our high school diploma, why we can consider some advance work. And remember that it is written that those who marry enter a school from which they are never in this life to be graduated. So marriage is not graduation. Marriage is commencement. But we need to have our preparatory work done. We need to be sure that we meet the entrance requirements. We need to be sure that we have some credits that can be accepted. All right. Now look back at our statement here in Adventist Home, page 466. And will you read this sentence with me again, all together. It is by faithfulness to duty in the parental home that the youth are to prepare themselves for homes of their own. I wish you'd memorize this sentence. This is fundamental. Now, I wish you'd turn to the 16th of Luke. Now, I want to notice a question here that Jesus asks. It'll help us on this point. What is the word that is used by the spirit of prophecy in this sentence that we've just read? What is the experience that is to characterize the young person in the parental home? Faithfulness. That's right. All right. Luke, the 16th chapter, 10th verse. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Tell me, which do you think is harder? Which do you think involves more? To be faithful in the parental home or to be faithful in the duties and responsibilities of husband and wife? Which do you think is the lesser or the greater of those two responsibilities? Which one does God use to get us ready for the other? Which is the lesser then? Doesn't God lead from the lesser to the greater? Don't we always learn short division before we do long division? Don't we? Certainly. Then tell me, if we flunk our courses in the easier levels, what hope do we have of attaining success in the larger problems? Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least is what? Faithful also in much. All right. Now the 12th verse. This is right on the point. All together read with me the 12th verse. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If you haven't been faithful in the home of your parents, who will give you a home of your own? And if you want me to answer that question, the answer is the devil. He'll be glad to give you a home of your own if you've flunked your preparatory course. He'll be most happy to lead you into something that'll be full of problems harder than any you ever faced with father and mother, or teacher, or supervisor, or home head, or wherever. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, looking back at Messages to Young People 466, what is the chapter from which this sentence is that we're studying is taken? The example of Isaac. Where did Isaac get his preparation to carry on a successful home? In the parental home. Who was his father? Abraham. How old was Isaac when he was married? 40 years old. We're not trying to establish some mathematics here. We're getting at this point that for 4 decades, Isaac learned and demonstrated obedience and faithfulness and loyalty in the parental home. A wonderful record, isn't it, for him? Now let me say to you, you folks who are married, if somehow you skipped some of this when you were growing up, either your parents' fault or your fault, there's good news for you. You can still get in on it. It'll be harder now that you're married. But don't think that that there's no way for you to learn these lessons. You'll have to learn them if you're going to live with Jesus in heaven. The lessons of faithfulness, obedience, loyalty, dependability, love, all these wonderful lessons. And you young people who are now in your teens and 20s, not married, but as you look back over your child life and your experience as young people in your homes, if you haven't learned these lessons, well, thank God we can start right where we are. God is in the business of teaching. And if we're willing, he might even speed up the process a little. Of course, I'll tell you this, if you're going to learn mathematics fast, you'll have to have more problems per day, won't you? That's right. But it's worth it, friend, to learn these wonderful lessons. All right? Now look again there at Messages to Young People 466. It is by faithfulness to duty in the parental home that the youth are to prepare themselves for homes of their own. Let them here practice what? Self-denial. Oh, what's that got to do with marriage? Well, my dear friends, when a young man and a young woman get married, and each of them has the idea that now they're going to get just what they want all the time, somebody's in for a disappointment. And a hard surprise. Yeah. The basis of a successful Christian home is love, and love is not selfishness, is it? And selfishness is not love. And so in the parental home, in preparation for establishing successful Christian homes, we're to learn the lesson of what? Self-denial. would practice self-denial and manifest kindness, courtesy, and Christian sympathy. Oh, isn't this nice? Thank God, dear friend.